I want to speak on visions and dreams a little bit today, and then we're going to, we've been changing up some things because we want to rediscover the flow of how the New Testament church has, works. By the way, let's go ahead and put up the next, let's see what we got here. Visions and dreams. I took your little logo thing. Returning to our roots. I like to put a prayer in. Let's go to the next slide. Well, it's not going to. We got some of it cut off. Maybe that's me that did that. But anyway, let's just thoughtfully and prayerfully declare this prayer to the Lord and say, Father God, it is my desire to know you as you intended, to be loved by you, to become complete in the depth of your love. Lord Jesus, thank you for revealing the love of God to me. Help me open my heart to deeper dimensions of who you are and who I am to you. Amen. Next slide. God is a communicator. Let's go ahead. I'll get into this a little bit more, but Hebrews 1 through, I think it's actually 3, it says, long ago, at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So we see here that God spoke it many times in many different ways, and now we're going to look at some of that. This next slide. God speaks directly. The primary way he speaks is through, for us, is through his written word, making it alive inside of you by the speaking to our spirit. And the ultimate goal, I believe this. I believe the ultimate goal in God communicating with us is that we would know him. How many of you believe that? This is one thing I've noticed more and more. I was at this thing at the kids' school, and I was sitting at a table, and there was a lady who was in the children's ministry, and these thoughts came to my heart about how God was working in her life. And I was thinking, in the past, I would have been more interested in that little knowledge, but now I'm more interested in the person knowing how deeply cared for they are by the Lord. And so the way I approach the use of the information is by revealing the heart of God for them. And it's amazing when you come in that spirit how people's heart just opens up and they just want to, because they're, you know, how many of you know, you give your life over to the Lord and he wants to do things in you and for you. And sometimes you're thinking you got to do so much more, and he's going, well, your so much more is being with me. How many of you, that's look, I just turned 69. I think I just beginning to learn that. So the ultimate goal in God communicating with us is that we would know him, and we would know his heart, his character, his love for us, and yes, his ways and his purpose. So God will reveal, and he always reveals himself to a seeking heart. People typically, this is so funny, people typically ask God in their, you know, their busy life when they actually need something. Isn't that true? Like we ignore God, ignore God, ignore God. Now I need something. But we think he's too busy. I meet people like that. They go, oh, God doesn't have time for me. I'm going, you just don't know. In fact, C.S. Lewis said this incredible line. He says, God has infinite attention. Everybody say infinite. Infinite attention, infinite leisure to spare for each one of us. He doesn't have to take us in the line. You don't have to get in line like Santa Claus sitting down there. You don't have to do that. You're as much alone with him as if you were the only thing he'd ever created. Do you realize God has infinite time to spend with just you? Somebody just praise the Lord right here. This is can blow away misconceptions. And also the Lord knows our weakness and enters into our lives at the place where we are needy and vulnerable to let us know that he's there for us. And this is a big deal, how the Lord does this. I love this verse, Matthew 11, 20, 8 through 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and my burden is light. And I've watched the Lord do that more and more and more. So I wanted to say that God is a communicator and he's looking for ways to communicate. He usually comes to you when you're vulnerable and needy because he loves you. The time when you don't think, you think you have to be all that to have his attention, to have your act together, and it's usually not that way. I've just determined that in my mindset, I'm just going to come completely as a depraved. I'm going to acknowledge I'm just depraved. You're everything and I'm nothing. Now we can get going with this thing. Amen. I'm not bringing anything that you didn't give me. I didn't even bring love that you didn't give me. I'm not bringing anything that you... I was lost. I don't have anything. I'm not... I need no starting place. I got nothing to stand on except the sheer mercy and grace of Jesus, period. Oh, what a relief. You don't have to... Now look. He's going to do it in and through you. Now, but God communicated with visions. Then we're going to get back into the visions and dreams. God communicated with visions and dreams in the Old Testament and New Testament. I'm going to touch on a couple of these, and then we're going to have Tom read something here in a minute, and we'll be done. But just leave it there for a second. You know, how many of you remember the Joseph as a 17-year-old gets these massive visions of all the stars, and they bow down to... You know, and then he tells his brothers, or they got these big stalks of wheat, and they all bow down. And this little, runt of a kid is getting these massive visions by God, and he's going in. He didn't have wisdom. He just blabs them all off. And so they kill it. They don't kill him. They tell their dad they killed him, but basically they sell him off in slavery. They get rid of him. But how many of you know that was in... He spent time interpreting dreams because he had to go through the process of becoming what God could use. And so later, what happens? The brothers come, there's a famine in the land, and they literally come in and bow down before him. Now, I had a man of God involved in a certain movement that said, one of our weaknesses is we forget about the process. How the Lord does it, he gives you a word, and he said our vulnerability is to go try to make that happen right now. And you, in the Bible, there's the word, there's a vision, there's something that the Lord wants to do in your life, but then he's going to work in you to bring about the kind of character that can actually do what he wants to do, right? So there's a working in you. And so what we want to like, I want to do that, I want to do it. And we resist all the change. We resist being worked on by the Lord. And people go through their whole life and like, I had never worked out the way I wanted to. Yeah, you never worked out the way he wanted to. Oh my gosh. So anyway, we see this powerful, powerful vision that God gives to this young whippersnapper. And then he processes and takes, 14 years he takes and develops the kind of person that can actually fulfill that vision. We see Daniel is another person, has these incredible visions that have to do with nations. So there's the visions and dreams of that. In the New Testament, we have another fellow named Joseph, right? How many of you know Joseph after Jesus is born, he has a dream, and an angel comes in the dream and warns him to get out of Egypt, and they flee Egypt because Herod is coming. So God's using a dream to warn and spare Jesus' life. And then later, we actually see Pontius Pilate has his wife says, oh, she goes to him and says, the things I've suffered in a dream concerning him, don't you mess with this guy. So here's a wife who has an intuitive capacity, and God is speaking to her. So Jesus stands at trial with Pontius Pilate, and his wife warns Pilate against having anything to do with him because she knows of his innocence, that she's been spoken to in a dream. So let's go ahead and put up this Acts 2:17. Would you all say this with me? And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Stop for a minute and everybody say all. Not just believers. Sometimes you're pouring out the spirit on the unbeliever to get them to come to the... Okay, are you there? So the pouring out. And then now, let's go. And your now we're into the sons and daughters. Your sons and daughters shall what? Prophesy. What does that mean? That means you're going to receive inside information from the Holy Spirit. And he's going to have you speak it. It's going to be powerful. And it's something that he wants you to steward and help. And then the second work here is this. And your And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I want to say something. Let's see, I've just said that a minute ago. This is good. Now, I just wanted to get this out here. It's not tied to the next thing. Get ready. I've learned this. You know, when the Lord will tell you something, and then He gives you direction, but He doesn't give you the how-tos. He just expects you to put your trust in Him and have faith. He doesn't tell you how He's going to do it. He's going to grow you up into the person that trusts in Him to work in a situation so that you can fulfill the calling that He's called you to. Tom, I asked Tom if he would, here's Peter, he's declaring this. Shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. This is Acts chapter 10.
In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. And the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon a tanner who lives near the seashore. As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa.
Okay, let's stop just for a second. So, just as we said a minute ago, Cornelius does not know the Lord. He's a devout guy. Now God is going to reach to him. And I want to go ahead and say this, that we'll give an illustration a little later, but there are some places where the Word of God is not known. You don't know the Bible. So God uses visions and dreams to bring truth to light in people's lives. So he comes and he does it that way. What's beautiful about that, you know, that passage Paul talks about, it says, how are they going to hear without a preacher? Well, Jesus shows up in their dreams as the preacher. See, he's the evangelist. He comes. He sends an angel to Cornelius in a vision and has this encounter and speaks to him. Cornelius doesn't know the Lord. But he tells him that there's Simon, that Peter, named Peter, is at Simon the Tanner's house. When we were in Israel, I remember driving by that particular house, and they pointed at the house and said, "This, we were in Joppa." It's called Jaffa now, but we were in Joppa, and they said, "There's Simon the Tanner's house." I was like, "We're in the bus, you know, riding by the, you know, this is a, that's the roof." So go ahead and continue.
The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. It was about noon, and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles and birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." "No, Lord," Peter declared, "I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean." But the voice spoke again, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." The same vision was repeated three times. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. Peter was very perplexed. What could the vision mean? Just then, the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house. Standing outside the gate, they asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, "Three men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, for I have sent them."
Okay, let's stop this for a second. So, this is, I find this is really amazing. So you get the vision, or you have the dream, and you don't know what it means. And that's very typical. I don't know what it means. How many of you have had something where the Lord speaks to you, you just don't really, you don't? I have a friend that flies airplanes. He has a small airplane. And he got elected to the House of Delegates. And his wife came up to me and said, "My husband's had this dream and he doesn't know what it means." And they told me the dream. And the dream was that he was in a big airplane that he didn't know how to fly. Now, to me, that was the most obvious answer that I've to it, I felt like Daniel. I'll have the interpretation for you right now. And the interpretation was, you just got elected to an office that you don't know anything about. And you're asked to fly this thing, and you have no idea. And it was like, oh, that was it. So you're going to trust the Lord to help you fly this new endeavor. Duh. Well, here's Peter. He's going, I have no idea what this is. Here's asking me to eat food that's unclean according to ceremonial law. I can't, it's not kosher. What the weird? He's sitting there doing, and these guys knock on the door. Go ahead.
So Peter went down and said, I'm the man you're looking for. Why have you come? They said, we were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer. He is a devout and God-fearing man, well respected by all the Jews. A holy angel instructed him to summon you to his house so that he can hear your message. So Peter invited the men to stay for the night. The next day he went with them, accompanied by some of the brothers from Joppa.
Let me stop just for a minute. There's nobody beating on the walls. The boiler is like, hey, let's get some gas. It's just the old building is acting up. let me read a little bit here. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. So, by the way, if you're in Jaffa, it takes a whole day to get to Caesarea. So they go up there, they spend the night, then they go in the morning. So it's a 4-day thing for the guys to go down there and get Peter and them to go back. So they get up there, and then he hears the whole story. Let me just cut to the quick. So they hear the story. This guy has a vision. He doesn't know the Lord. He says, hey, go. And they take him to back, and he hears Cornelius. Cornelius has a vision. Peter has a vision. They're matching up. And now, as he realizes, this guy is not a Jew, and the Lord's saying to him, this is not about, the gospel's bigger than the Jewish nation. He's making a course correction. See, the vision is being used to make a course correction and a change inside. And part of the use of a vision is, we're going to change the way you see things. We're going to alter the way you've been thinking. We're going to help you, we're going to expand your possibilities here. And then what happens is, of course, I tell you, this is so much fun to compete with a building, isn't it? I'm going to hit something too, boom, but you know, go back and forth. Oh man, that's funny. So here's the beautiful thing about it. So he's explaining this to him, and then he starts to preach. And he preaches to the people, and this is one of those beautiful passages here where the Holy Spirit comes and says, even as Peter was saying these things, he says, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Were listening to his message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. This is the whole point. And they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. And then Peter goes, can anyone object to their being baptized now that they've received the Holy Spirit just as we did? And so they gave orders and they went and they baptized them in the name of Jesus. And Cornelius said, please stay with us for several days. So this whole chapter 10 is dedicated to showing the function of a vision. The work of God giving vision by the Holy Spirit to a non-believer, to a believer, connect them up, release the kingdom. It's about God saying, I'm going to reveal a new sense of how I want my purposes to be manifest. Let's praise the Lord for a minute. Praise you, Jesus. Man, let's just go ahead and tell the Lord, I want to experience the outpouring of your Spirit in the realm of dreams and visions, that I might not be hindered to fulfill the purpose of the kingdom of God in my life. Let's just praise Him for a minute. Praise you, Jesus. Because we're returning to our roots and we want the same experiences. Now look, we're not seeking experiences. We're seeking the Lord. So this is not about coming some fruit loop of a kooky person. We want to be full of the Holy Spirit. But look, they did not have any problem receiving a vision and working their way through to get to the understanding of what the Holy Spirit was saying. They just worked it. What is that? How did they? And, you know, that's how it works. Same thing happened with Paul. I put this up on the overheads. Next slides. Acts 16, 6 through 10. And they went, this is Timothy. Timothy's with him. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So now the Holy Spirit's like, okay, you're not going to go over this way. And it says, and then when they came to Mysia, they were tempted to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not, no, we're not going this way. See, it's like, why are we preaching the gospel to the world? Oh, so, no, not here, not here. And so they went down to Troas, next slide. And it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Now here's now God's using vision, giving a Holy Spirit-inspired vision to Paul. It's very strategic. Oh, my God. Yes. A vision for Paul. Boom, boom. Okay, that's probably what it felt like in the middle of the night. Yeah, he jumps up. A man of Macedonia was standing there. This is the vision. Urging him, saying, come to Macedonia and help us. And somebody years ago said, they don't go like this, they go like this. So I don't know why that's important, but it's probably not. But in other words, he said, come, come, come. So he saw this vision, and Paul had seen the vision. Immediately, we sought to go on to Macedonia, according to God called us to preach the gospel there. Now this is, man, I tell you, I feel like King Kong. So there's nothing, Monty, there's nothing you can do about that. Oh my God. Okay. We're almost done. We're really close here. Let me just say, direction. The vision was given specifically, and this is why what happened right there at that moment, that he started, that's when he started heading the other direction. And so the gospel ended up going to the west and going this way. If it had gone the other way, Asia would be full of the gospel coming this way. But apparently, he says, Paul, we're going to do it this way. And he's got him going. It had to do with direction. Vision clarified divine direction for the apostles' journeys to go. And that established, because the Lord said, we're not doing here, we're doing it. But to really punctuate it, he goes, I'm going to give him a vision. Because you can see that. You can respond to that. Wasn't an angel, it was just a vision of a man saying, come this way. And he knew, because he'd already been told twice by the Lord, don't go this way, we're not going this way. And then in the middle of the night, how many of you know the Lord can speak to you in the middle of the night? It's like Paul's like asleep. He's asleep. And now, boom, here comes. And he's laying next to the boiler. No, I'm kidding. All right. And that really punctuated the whole experience. Okay, so God uses visions and dreams in the last days. I think I have that. So now we'll talk about our time. And just recently, despite the difficult conditions that Gaza is facing today, I just saw this. God is still working. Jesus appeared to 200 men in their dreams. According to the reports of the underground Christian churches ministering in Gaza, 200 men. There's a guy named Michael who's the president of Risen Jesus, Inc., and he has shared on his official Facebook page the wonderful news they received from his Christian friends in Gaza, that there has been a supernatural move of God as he visited 200 men. Michael wrote, over the past 2 days, we have ministered to hundreds of fathers who have lost most, if not all, of their children in the war. As we moved these men to safety, we fed them, washed their clothes, and began to read the Bible to them, sharing the way of peace through Jesus. He continued, then a miracle happened. Last night, gosh, Jesus appeared to more than 200 of them in their dreams. They have come back to us to learn from God's word and are asking how to follow Jesus. The Holy Spirit is being poured out on all flesh. I have prayed over and over for certain people. See, you know that if somebody says, God, show me, if you're real, show me, he'll show you. I just recently had a dream. I've never had this before, ever. I dreamed there's a person in ministry over a ministry. They're over a ministry, and I know the guy. In fact, I've ministered to the person before, and I ministered to somebody in their ministry before. So anyway, I have a dream that his wife is facing a certain fear. And I wake up and I got a dream that his wife is, I said, hey, potentially, you know, because I'm not going to, I say, hey, I had a dream. This never happens to me. I've never had this happen before. But what's going on is I dreamed that your wife was facing potentially some fear in where you guys are going in ministry and stuff. And I just wanted to tell you that. And so I'm available because the Lord showed me that. And this is a first. You know, I don't usually wake up having dreams about people needing ministry. And I don't know if this will be the first, the last one, or it'll be a common occurrence. I have no idea about that part. But anyway, I went ahead and left a message on the phone. And about 2 weeks later, he gets back to me. He says, I think you're right. And I said, look, I'm facing, our joke has been, you know, we came down with that Asian, the flu, influenza A. And so I said, we've been Foo Fighters. So I said, when I get better, so I'm going to say I'm better now. Because you can't, it's hard to minister to somebody when you're feeling sick. Gosh, man, this has been a trip. Yes, and we're going to beat that spirit right. We're going to hit it like that, and then we're going to hit it like that. And it's going to feel it like that. Oh, my gosh. Oh. Okay. And Todd, come on up. Hear me this. And the Lord just gave you a vision or dream, right?
So, like, the furnace has done stuff like that before, but never that bad. And I really, I want you to realize it's a, the enemy loves to, especially when God's highlighting something. And I really believe we're moving into a season of dreams and visions, and it's going to break out in our church in an incredible way. And I don't dream a lot. My wife is one that dreams a lot, but it happens maybe once every 2 or 3 years, the Lord will give me a dream. But about a year and 8 months ago is when I resigned our church out at West. And part of that in making this transition was I knew that something new was coming in the body of Christ, in a new wine, and that I had to be able to understand what it means to let go of the old so I could step into the new. And so about 9 days ago, I was dreaming, and in the dream, I had one of the things I always have done in pastoring is I'll have the leaders over to my house or over to a house usually once every 3 months or 6 months, and we have a meal together, and we pray and everything. And so in the dream, I'm in that meeting that I usually have done where all the leaders are in the house. And the really weird part that didn't make that I didn't think of in the dream is the leaders were all mixed together from the last three churches that I had pastored, you know. And in the dream, I knew I was telling them that I was moving and that I was leaving. And then in the dream, I began to prophesy that the Lord is bringing new wine. New wine is going to be poured out upon the body of Christ. New wine's coming. But we must get rid of the old wineskin. The only way that we're going to be able to move into the new wine is being able and contain it is getting rid of the old wineskin. Because if we hold on to the old wineskin, the new wine will come and it will burst it and it will be lost. And so this is me prophesying in the midst of that meeting. And I wake up and I'm still prophesying what I was saying in the dream. And for a lot of you, this don't mean a whole lot, but to me, it's been like this shaking going on in me because God is saying, you've got to let go of the old wineskin, move into the new wine. And it was the next day after that, that one of the apostolic leaders that I have in my life that I hadn't talked to in 15 years, she's on the phone and I'm saying to her this whole thing. And then I said, I'm too old to make this change. She said, would you shut up? I'm 83. She said. And so it's just like often the Lord will give you prophetic dreams because of transitions and decisions that you need to make in your own life.
Yes, let's go ahead and stand together. Go ahead and stand together. Let's go ahead and just declare that. Say, Lord, I want the new wine. And I want the new wineskin. And I set my heart to become what you want in this next season. Now let's praise him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Alrighty. Now, next Sunday, Emmy's going to take this idea a little further. And we're wanting to invite the Holy Spirit to begin moving in our midst as they did in the book of Acts, right? And that's part of that. And there's other features and things. How many of you have noticed one of the things we just recently did is we started adding a ministry flow at the end of the worship. And we've taken away the prayer circles. And so that's by design. We're dropping that. And how many have felt, wow, the Lord really showed up? And I'm functioning. Like we talk about this. This is kind of an old wineskin thing. This is just weird. But see the fivefold ministry. If you have a pastor, what they do is they multiply pastors. If you have an apostle, they multiply apostles. If you have a prophet, you multiply prophets. If you have an evangelist, you multiply evangelists. If you have a teacher, you multiply teachers. That's the idea. And we've used the one title. I don't really, doesn't matter if people want to call me pastor or not. Roger's fine. But the point is, I'm functioning in what I am. Sometimes it's pastoral. Sometimes it's prophetic. When I get around worship leaders, it pretty much becomes a prophetic apostolic thing. It just does something. And I want to just go ahead and acknowledge that I believe with all my heart there's an apostolic grace. As a teacher, you know that already on Todd. But I really feel that there's an apostolic grace on him because it's the passion to teach and set things right is just extraordinary. And so we have a little blend of things in here. It doesn't mean you have to have all that stuff, but it just means you're aware of it. And that's part of the new wineskin thing. And we're shifting. Have you ever seen those little games? Is it Mario, Super Mario, whatever? And they touch, whatever, a lot of them do this, where they touch a certain thing and another superpower comes on them, or energizing. The Lord's going to energize. He's going to release, as you get revelation of what, let me just go ahead and say, we have a lot of pastors in this room. They function in anointing of pastor. They're very caring. They come around, they do automatic. You don't have to have the title. We were functioning in an old wineskin. We would say, go and get this title. That don't matter. You know what I mean? Am I making sense? We just want pure Jesus everywhere. Pure Jesus everywhere. Amen? Amen. If there's anyone needs other particular ministry, it's funny. Now that we've got through the revelation of the morning, the pipes don't care. Hey, hug on somebody or dismiss. Love on each other. God bless.